This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll begin our hour of radio drama with Theater 5. We'll hear Get Away with Murder, their story from April 2nd, 1965. After that, it's Now Hear This and Right Cross, their story from October 21st, 1951.
Slow down on these curves. You took that one on two wheels.
What's the matter? Who needs four? Yee-hoo! Chucko, we're on our own at last. No college, no family, no nothing. Wow, I feel great.
Theater 5 presents Get Away with Murder.
Listen to me, young man. Your mother and I are fed up. I've paid your traffic fines. I've bailed you out of messes. I've pulled strings at the newspapers. But this is the end. If you can't think about anything but getting drunk and driving around like a madman, I'm through.
We've been very patient, Bert. Won't you try to pull yourself together? You must have a decent education.
Well, it's pretty late to talk about that. What other college is going to take him in now?
Oh, I'm so ashamed, Bert. And the poor Mallards are sick over Jack. Why didn't you two think about how your parents would feel if you were expelled?
All they've ever thought about was trouble. Making trouble for others and getting into trouble themselves. Well, young fellow, I put a stop to that. I've cut off your allowance.
What?
And there'll be no more of that maniacal driving. I've sold your car.
You sold my sports car?
To Ben Merkel. The minute I got the dean's letter this afternoon.
You sold my sports car?
Yes. I hope that would give you a jolt. So think it over. And when your mother and I get back from Chicago, we're going to have a little talk about your future. Come on, Alice. We'll miss the plane if we don't go.
Goodbye, darling. Oh, I hate leaving you alone at a time like this. But do be good. And don't get into any more trouble.
Come on, Alice.
Goodbye, dear.
Hey, wait!
Forget it.
Can you beat the nerve treating us like a couple of stinking kids? If you can't think of anything but getting drunk and driving around like a madman.
Boy, I hate parents.
And they're probably out there right now getting themselves stoned.
Right. Bankers' conventions. Bankers' booze fights.
Ugh.
Hey, got any more beer in the refrigerator?
That's all gone. But old Fathead's got plenty of booze here in the bar.
Okay, a shot.
I wish I could think of something to make him really mad. Really shake him up.
Yeah. And my old lady gets all excited. She still treats me like a kid. They're so wrapped up in their own world, they never get anything through their heads.
Plenty of times I've threatened to get out of here for real. Say, how about that? How about taking off? But good.
Well, leaving home, you mean?
Well, what's the good of hanging around here? Old Fathead's talking about another college, but I've had that jazz. You don't need any more of that, do you?
Me? I'm fed up to here.
So what do you say?
Well, where'd we go?
Anywhere. Vegas, maybe. I was there once. We could have a ball. Hey, you remember that gambling system you worked out?
Yeah.
That was terrific. It couldn't miss. We could make ourselves a pile.
Yeah. It's a long haul to Vegas, though. You got any dough?
Let's see. Lighter, keys, phone numbers. Boy, that was a babe. And let's see. 70,
5 cents and 10, 11, 12 bucks.
How about you?
I'm flat. 6 and a half. But I know where my old man keeps a wad for emergencies.
How much?
Oh, a couple of hundred, I think.
Your folks home now?
No, they're at the club dance.
Well, what are we waiting for?
I don't know. Hey, but that would... You know.
Come on, you're not chicken, are you? Your old man would never miss it. And what did he ever give you except a lot of lip about skipping classes?
Yeah, yeah. Plenty of that, all right.
So what's the percentage of playing his rules? Come on. Let's make up our own game.
Yeah, but 200 bucks won't go far. Plane fare alone will be that much. Well, if we only had your car.
Yeah, if we only. I went by the Merkel's house a while ago, and there it was sitting out in front, burning me up. I spat on it. Hey.
Huh?
You know what I still got? A car key. I forgot about the extra key.
Hey, that's more like it.
Oh, Fathead forgot about it, too. Oh, boy. Is his face going to be red?
Oh, that's a gas.
We're really on our way. Listen, you go home and get the dough and toss some junk in a bag. I'll sneak down to the Merkel's, grab the car, and come by and pick you up. Good thing it's such a rainy night, nobody will be on the streets.
Okay, give me another drink first.
Now, bring the bottle with me. Go on home. Hurry.
What's so funny?
I just feel good. I feel like... You know those guys that rob banks just for kicks?
Oh. Yeah.
You know something, Jacko? We're hot. This car is hot. And your 200 bucks is hot. We're outside the law, Jacko.
Slow down on these curves. I took that one on two wheels.
What's the matter? Who needs four? Yoo-hoo! Jacko, we're on our own. No family, no nothing. Give me that bottle again. That was a nice little old curve.
Bert, for crying out loud, the road's too wet. We're not in that much of a hurry.
I am. I got a date with a doll somewhere. I got to find her.
Bert, look out.
Yee-hee. Hold on, boy. Here we go. Bert, look out that tree. Bert!
Jack. Say something. Jack?
Huh? Oh, you're all right. I thought for a minute.
What happened?
I sideswiped a tree. You hit your head on the dash. Does it hurt bad?
My head?
Your forehead's cut. You're bleeding.
Bleeding? I sure am.
How do you feel?
It hurts, but I guess I'm okay. What a dope you are, driving like that.
I'm sorry.
What about the car?
Just a banged-up fender, I think. Look, this cut of yours is bad. We got to get you to a hospital.
Here, take this handkerchief. Press hard on the cut. Can you sit up?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get you back to... Oh, no.
What?
We can't go back to Peterborough. The Merkels may have found out about the car.
We'll just have to keep going to Brookhaven. There's a hospital there.
Can you hold out that long?
I got to.
But step on me. Leave one with me.
How you doing, Jack?
I don't feel too well.
We're doing 80. It's so dark and rainy.
Hey, there's a car behind us.
Huh? I think he's following us.
Well, never mind. We'll be coming to the state line pretty soon. Even if it's a trooper, they can't pick you up for speed once you get across the line.
Come on, baby doll. Do your stuff. still back there?
Yeah. He's getting closer. Look, Bert, it's too far to the state line. We better try to shake him. There's a road off to the right up ahead. It leads down to my folks' summer cottage.
White Colony. Sure, I know the road. It's right here. Hold up. Here we go. Hey.
Now, go on half a mile and then swing left. Here. Our house is the second driveway behind that bunch of trees. Right here. Go in here. Go on, all the way in.
Better shut off my lights, too, I guess.
Yeah. Hear anything?
Just the rain. I don't hear anything. No, I think we shook the cops. Let's go. Wait.
Hold it a minute more.
I'm pretty sure we lost him or we'd hear him by now.
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought nobody lived out here at Lake Colony in the winter.
No, they don't. That dog belongs to Pat, the caretaker. He looks after all the cottages. You got another handkerchief? His cut's still bleeding.
Yeah. Here's one. Come on, let's go.
I guess we got it. Don't put your lights on yet. When you back out, just shoot straight across the road into the Johnson's drive and then swing around.
Okay.
We must have hit the door. Oh, nuts. How'd he get there?
Oh, shut up!
Felt like we went right over it. No, nothing to do about it. Let's go.
Jack, emergency entrance. Can you get out?
I guess so. Oh, God, look at the blood. All over the seat.
Yeah. And back here on the bumper. Boy, we really slammed into that dog. Must have been a big one.
Yeah. Collie, our front fender took a beating, too.
Never mind. Come on, let's find a doctor.
Okay, thank you, Doctor. And how much do I owe you?
Oh, let's say $20.
What? Oh, all right.
Looks odd. Seems to me I know your face. Aren't you from around here?
No, not me, sir.
Oh. Well, I was just going to say, if I knew your folks, you needn't pay me cash.
Oh, no, I'll pay you. I'm just passing through. Here.
Thank you. Listen, young fellow, you're in no condition to spend the night on the road. Both of you'd better bed down here until morning.
No, I'm fine. We'll be on our way, thanks. We got a sick friend. He needs us in a hurry.
All right, then. Take care of yourselves. And don't drive so fast next time.
Yes, sir. Good night. Let's see now. Which way do we come in?
Down this way, I think.
Yeah, this is the door. Here.
Oh, sorry. Well, look where you're going.
Come on, Bert.
Hey, wait a minute.
Sorry, we're in a hurry.
Wait, I said. Yeah, officer. What do you want? You and your friend in the bandages here. You know anything about that beat-up sports job outside, TY3737?
What about it?
Let's see your driver's license.
Here.
Both of you.
Here.
Okay. Which way did you come from?
We don't have to answer that.
You were coming from Peterborough, maybe? You weren't coming down the Brookhaven Turnpike at 80 miles an hour?
It's none of your business where we were coming from. Or how fast we were coming, either.
I happen to know the law, Mr. Wise Guy. We shook you off miles back in New York State. You can't touch us once we cross the line. Okay? Come on, Jack.
Just a minute. What about that blood all over the seat? Where'd that come from?
Well, for crying out loud, look at this guy's head. Where do you think it came from?
What were you doing?
We had a little accident.
Accident? Is that how you bent that fender?
You've really been over that old car, haven't you?
Is that how you bent the fender?
Yeah.
What'd you hit?
A tree. One poor little tree on the side of the road. Now, wasn't that terrible of us?
You better not be so cocky, Mr. Bert Hodgins. How'd you get the blood on the back bumper? From another tree?
We hit a dog.
With the back bumper?
We were backing.
Why?
Why not? Just happened to be. It was dark and I lost the road and... So?
All right. What'd you do with the dog you hit? Did you pick it up and take it to a hospital?
Well,
no. I'll tell you what you did. You left it lying there in the road with its back broken. Left it to die.
Well, how'd you know that?
I found it there. You thought you'd shaken me off, didn't you? And you did for a while. But I backtracked and went up the Lake Colony Road, and there was this collie. The nice fellas, aren't you? Run over a dog and leave it to die?
Well, it was my dog.
Your dog?
My father's. At least it belonged to my father's caretaker. Can't pick us up for that.
I don't care whose dog it was.
Officer?
Yes?
State Police Headquarters are calling. Could you pick up this phone here, please?
Oh, thanks. You wait here, understand? Officer Griffin. Yeah. Peterborough? Yeah. Oh, yeah? Where did I get my pencil? Okay, shoot. The name? Yes. And the number? TY3737.
Jeez, shut up. It's okay.
I already got it. Yeah, it's right here. Okay, roger. All right, boys, this is it. You're driving a stolen car.
Stolen? That's a laugh.
Yeah?
The car belongs to me.
That car belongs to a Mr. Ben Merkel.
That's crazy. Ask anybody in Peterborough. I've been driving that car around for a year.
Until this afternoon. Mr. Ben Merkel bought it this afternoon.
Oh. Well, that was just one of those little family things. My father didn't really mean it. He was just trying to act tough.
Well, we'll see. Come on, we're going back to Peterborough.
No, officer. Listen, we haven't done anything.
But you won't mind going back. Come on.
Officer?
Yes?
You're wanted in the superintendent's office right away.
Oh. Now, let's see. A nurse.
Yes?
I've got these two fellows here under arrest.
What?
I wonder if you'd mind...
You can't arrest us!
I have. Charged stolen car. Nurse, I'm sorry to bother you. I got to handcuff them somewhere.
Handcuffed? Oh, no, you don't.
Take it easy, boy. You know, you can't get away. Let's see. Oh, here's this radiator. Okay, come on, Hodgins, your right hand. Now, yours, Mallard. Yeah, I guess that'll hold you. Now, no noise if you know what's good for you. Nurse, take me to the superintendent's office, will you?
Oh, certainly. This way.
This is a tough spot. It's too tough. We'll be all right.
How do you mean?
Well, look, Ben Merkel works for the First National Bank, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And my father's a vice president of the bank, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
You think a lousy bank teller's going to press charges against the son of his own VP?
Sure.
Of course, old Fathead's going to get sore, but you don't think you'll make a public stink, do you? My father, the big shot, have a thief for a son?
Yeah, you're right.
That's same with your folks. They'll be sore about the $200, but they'll hush it up, both of them. They'll just yak at us for a while and then push it under the rug.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. Sure, you're right.
It's going to be miserable for a couple of weeks, but we've lived through worse. Remember the time that babe in Milwaukee sued you?
Yeah. And the time those checks of yours bounced?
Sure. And the big deal busted up that vacant beach house?
Boy, that was a laugh.
Hodgins, Mallard.
Oh. Huh?
All this is very funny, isn't it?
Oh, we weren't laughing at this.
Yeah, I know. You were laughing at how easy it was going to be to get yourselves off the hook. I heard it's always been very easy, hasn't it? You've been getting away with murder. Well, not this time.
What do you mean?
You thought you'd killed a dog, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, there was an old man walking with that dog.
A man? No, not a man.
That's right. When I came along, both of them were lying in the road. The old man was still alive. I called an ambulance and I brought him here. I didn't know whether he was going to die or not, but I've just been told he has. So this is one time you won't get away with murder. No, sir. Not this time.
Theater 5 has presented Get Away with Murder, written by Nora Sterling, directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Hal Studer, Cliff Carpenter, Ian Martin, Mary Jane Higby, and Arthur Anderson. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, presents Now Hear This, dramatic stories based on the personal experiences of those gallant men and women who embody the great traditions of a great service, the United States Navy.
Now hear this. There will be no payday. There will be no liberty. There will be no shore leave.
I don't suppose there are many guys listening who haven't taken an alarm clock apart just to see what makes it tick. The more adventurous type of Joe will tinker with the old lady's vacuum cleaner. And if he's a hell-bent for leather guy, he might even start poking around with the motor of his car. Now, a lot of amateur mechanics will back me up on this. Just because you have all the parts of a machine, it doesn't mean that the thing will kick over. Now, a ship is a lot like that. She can be trimmed from keel to lookout and still be nothing but a bunch of steel plates and rivets. What you need is a bunch of guys who care. Now, you might not believe this, but I shipped on a destroyer back around 48 that, just didn't have it. These guys just didn't seem to care. All they cared about was the fact that they figured to have the next heavyweight champ of the fleet on their can. Well, anyway, let's just say it was a lazy ship. Or maybe it was the fact that these guys did have one great talent. A nose for trouble. I only mention this fact because we were pulling into Algiers. And if there's one port where you can find trouble, it's Algiers.
It's like shooting crap on a blanket, Rusty. You just can't win.
Depends on whose dice you're using.
Even with that edge.
Hey, Rusty, where can I find Brooklyn?
Here I am.
Hey, where you been hiding?
Who said I was hiding? Been laying in my sack figuring.
Figuring what?
What does he always figure?
An angle?
An angle.
See that duffel bag, Eddie?
Yeah.
It's filled with chewing gum. Worth more than platinum. Do you realize how much this chewing gum will bring?
All right, can the chatter, Mr. Rockefeller. I've got a few words to say.
Our boats. Welcome to our humble abode.
Stow it. Now, look, we're putting to Algiers tomorrow.
At 0800, a very respectable hour.
Well, I'm glad it doesn't upset any of your plans. Now, the skipper's leaving the ship. He's being transferred.
They can't do this to us.
Ah, we'll line up the new boy. Just leave it to me.
As a farewell gift, he's given you sailors a 10-hour liberty against my better judgment.
Boy, I'll have to work fast. Gotta make some quick deals.
Now, I've got a few words to say.
Hear, hear.
I don't want any trouble, understand? And Brooklyn, if word gets back to me that you've been putting over any deal...
Hey, you trying to stifle free enterprise, Brooks?
Never mind the speech. Hey, Rusty, a lot of the dames in this port wear veils.
Ah, the mystery of it.
I'd leave them veils be, understand?
I've taken the vow, Boats. I shall merely be a tourist, interested only in the sights of old Algiers.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. And now you, Eddie.
Me?
It even surprises me. It must be you two guys who get him in trouble. But, Eddie, look. Keep your muscles hidden. If you feel yourself getting angry, take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. Only don't get any fights, or so help
me. Boats, I didn't start that fight in Palermo. I was sitting quietly sipping some
espresso.
Espresso? I was quietly studying some picture postcards of the ruins of
Parthenon.
It's in Greece.
Rome.
Greece.
In Athens. What am I whispering for? Now listen, you chowderheads. Just don't get in any trouble, understand? You, may have a little surprise waiting for you. The new skipper checks in at 0800. And, let's not upset him. Because I understand when he's upset, he gets very unhappy. And the same goes for the rest of you guys.
Yes, Peachy.
Oh, these guys don't need a chief. They need a nurse. Well, Boats is right, guys. We got to be careful. We don't know the new skipper.
Look, Eddie, I got to unload that chewing gum. Business before pleasure.
Well, I'm going to keep out of trouble. Quarterfinals are coming up, and I don't want to be brigged.
Hey, Brooklyn, you realize that in 5 weeks this ship will hold the heavyweight champ of the entire Atlantic fleet?
You'd better win.
What do you mean?
I bet 4 months' pay on you. Get 8-5.
You mean that you, the Angle Boy, Brooklyn's answer to the U.S. Treasury, is gambling? Is entrusting his money on something that has a chance of losing? Of
course not.
That's telling them, Brooklyn, I'm bound to win.
Wait a minute. What about the 4 months' pay you bet?
Well...
Eddie, he's done it again.
Since my rating is chief, and since I don't give out the passes, and since it isn't my job to advise a new skipper, all I could do was keep my fingers crossed. Meanwhile, I put in a few hours ashore myself. Met a sailor I hadn't seen since we both shipped aboard the Lex, dropped in on a friend at the French embassy, and then headed back to the ship. It was late, after lights out. And in my naive way, I thought that all had been shipshape. I learned different. My boys had done it again.
How's the eye, Eddie?
Beginning to dust.
Hey, douse the light.
You better douse it. We can get into trouble.
I'm telling you, it's all squared away.
I'll get a steak from Cookie tomorrow. That'll fix it up.
Up and eight. Sleep fast.
Oh, look at him. A bunch of sleeping beauties. Butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. Like newborn babes.
Wake up!
I ain't off that line.
When I'm good and ready. You and you and you.
Me?
Me? The Three Musketeers. I've just gotten a message from the shore patrol, and guess who it was about?
Me?
Me?
Me? You, you, and you. All right, let's have your side of the story. Not that I'll believe it, but regulations say I've got to listen before I have the three of you hung.
Well, Boats, it was like this.
I was sitting having some espresso.
Wrong time.
The shore patrol says that you annoyed a young lady, ruined an old man's business establishment, and threw five of the local police through a window.
Did they say five apiece?
Look, Eddie, I'll see that things go easy if you'll tell me the truth, no matter how unbelievable.
Well,
Go ahead, he'll never believe it.
Well, there was this beautiful 19-year-old girl.
Yeah, that takes care of Rusty.
And she falls in love with him.
What, on a 10-hour liberty?
Well, I spent the first 8 hours looking over the field.
She wants to marry him, but her father comes in and says no deal. So Price is named. It seems that wives...
Now, wait a minute. You mean you tried to buy her?
It's legal in Algeria.
Oh,
And so Brooklyn swung the deal.
Well, I was figuring on trading her for some ivory we spotted in the marketplace.
Yeah, keep going. And then her husband came in with the police.
Oh,
and you tossed the police through a window. What else could I do? The door was too small. As they say in civilian life, go fight City Hall. Well, at 0800, the new skipper was piped aboard, and at 0850, the men were assembled on the fantail. It was a pleasure to stand there and listen to that man sound off.
It has come to my attention that the morale on this ship is slightly below the waterline.
Fellas, I got an idea.
It has come to my attention that some of you men are treating the Navy and this ship as a boarding school.
Seems a little upset.
Now, I have been given command of this ship. I'm not in the habit of asking more from my men than I'm willing to put out myself.
Give it to him, Captain. Give it to him.
However, I'm willing to break my back to get the best ship in the Navy. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Captain.
For your further information, this happens to be a ship of the United States Navy. And a ship of the United States Navy is something to be proud of. That minor detail seems to be lacking in you men. So hear this. There is a book in the ship's library entitled Naval Orientation. It is for seamen recruits. I expect every man jack on this ship to read it from cover to cover.
That book weighs 8 pounds without the cover.
It has been my experience that a crew cannot have the proper morale, the proper love for their ship, unless they get to know their ship from bow to stern. Gentlemen, you are going to get to know your ship. Until you do, there will be no shore leave. There will be no liberty. There will be no goofing off. Stand easy.
Wow. Brooklyn, did you hear what I just heard?
You think maybe he's just trying to make an impression?
Who's there to impress? Us?
I'll get the lowdown.
Hey, boats.
Well, if it isn't the Rover boys, what can I do for
What's
you?
With this new skipper?
Well, from what I gather, he doesn't like the attitude of some of the hired help.
What's his background, Boats?
Are you figuring an angle, Brooklyn?
Just curious.
His name is Kane, rank commander, graduated in 35, captained a submarine during the last war, stands 6'3", weighs, I'd say, about 210.
Never mind the vital statistics, what's his background?
Well, on the last ship he captained, when he wasn't around, they called him, the Barracuda.
To give you a small idea of what took place on the USS Beano, in less than 2 weeks, we used 40 gallons of Sloan's liniment, 70 packages of Dr. Scholl's foot pads, 19 hot water bottles, and an even dozen ice bags. We had more rigs per square inch than the entire state of Texas. We had a captain who went by the book, and he got a taut and trim ship. And we had a crew who went by the book. Simple as that. They just went by the book.
Boats?
Oh, Ed. Didn't hear you walk up, sir.
First time I ever saw a fantail without any sailors shooting the breeze.
Yes, sir.
Not night. My cabin's like an oven.
Yes, sir.
On my last command, we had a seaman who played a harmonica. Used to sit on the fantail and play blues. You like the blues, Boats?
Yes, sir.
Kind of early for the men to be sacking up.
Well, as a matter of fact, Captain, if you don't mind my mentioning it, those men who had the energy crawled all the way, and the rest are just hanging from the ladders.
Hmm. Think I'm a little rough on them, Boats?
Well, you're the captain, sir.
On fleet maneuvers.
We had a pretty fair record, Captain.
True, we didn't finish last in anything, but we never got close to the top.
We were 7th in gunnery.
That good?
No, sir.
Don't get me wrong, Boats. They're good sailors. They answer commands and they can put this ship through her paces, but they don't enjoy it.
No, sir.
This isn't my first command, Boats. I know what a chief can mean to the workings of a ship. Give it to me straight.
Well, it's kind of a rough change for him. Not that it'll kill him. A little hard work never hurt anyone.
Their old skipper?
They liked him.
Boats, understand me. I am not going to buy my way. The men are going to love their ship.
Okay to talk man to man, sir.
Shoot.
Well, there's Eddie. If you allowed the men to put a ring up on the fantail...
I've already issued that order.
I see. This can't be a good cruiser.
It was rugged in the old days, Boats. Real rugged. But many a shot-up barge came through because she was manned by shipmates, not just a bunch of sailors.
Yes, sir. I remember, sir.
I understand my nickname has followed me onto this ship.
A nickname, sir?
Boats, the men just don't understand me. Deep down inside, I have a very sweet nature. Stand easy.
Yes, sir. Anything you say, sir. A very sweet nature. And very sharp teeth.
Keep your left up, Eddie. Up!
Stick to your managing. I'll take care of his corner.
Throw to right, Eddie. The right!
Well, how many more rounds, Brooklyn?
Two more with Sammy and then a four-rounder with Swifty.
Uh-huh.
Quarterfinals come up in 2 weeks and you need all the training you can get.
We got dough bet on this, Eddie. Our dough.
Have faith, Rusty. Faith.
You see the footwork? Good, huh? Oh, I'm a cinch.
Of course you are. Hey, Sammy, this round, try some infighting.
Okay.
Eddie, you gotta win this fight. It's more than just a dough. We gotta show the old man.
I know. I'll win easy.
Every sailor in the Navy is riding us. It's up to you.
Nobody says nothing about this ship holds the heavyweight champ. Remember that? Remember the left. Keep it up.
Right.
How do you think he looks, Chief?
Oh, sorry, Captain. Didn't see you come up.
I've been watching him. So he's their pride and joy.
Well, he's a little slow, but he can punch.
It will surprise me if this ship produces anything of championship caliber. That's the best they've got to offer. It fits this ship to a T.
Well, it's not a bad ship, sir.
I'll see that it gets better. Let's walk to the ring.
The exec said it was all right to put the ring up on the fan tail.
Told you I gave my permission.
Yes, sir.
The short right.
Hey, the captain.
Huh?
This the man in the quarterfinals?
Yes, sir. He's going to be champ.
He won't last two rounds.
He'll win, sir.
Boats. I'd like you to be my second.
You mean you want to go a couple of rounds, sir?
I do.
You think you ought to, sir?
He's the captain, Eddie.
Get me a pair of gloves, Boats.
What'll I do, Rusty?
I don't know.
Just don't hurt him. Give it to him fast.
Yeah, but he's the captain. I could get 10 years.
Sir, should he just spar with you?
I won't be wearing my stripes in the ring.
There's your answer, Eddie.
Oh, brother, just remember all the sweet but down and the scrubbing. No leave, no liberty.
Sir, I don't like to tell you what to do.
I know what I'm doing, Boat.
He's in condition, sir. Well, if you lose...
I have had 11 requests for transfers. It seems the men don't like their ship.
Yeah, I know, sir.
They don't like their captain either. But they're going to learn to respect me. I've watched them goof off. I know what they're doing. But I'll be captain of this ship or put in for a transfer myself.
Captain, you are making a big mistake. Captain, the minute he nuts you out, you're going to have to...
Yes, Boats? You want something?
Captain, what did you hit him with?
America has a big heart. It is generally inconceivable in the American scheme of things that a sick or wounded soldier, sailor, marine, or airman should lack anything humanly obtainable which would contribute to his recovery. Yet this might happen, and here's why. The Korean campaign has gravely depleted the armed forces' supply of human blood plasma, and 270,000 pints must be donated monthly by Americans to assure our servicemen of the greatest degree of safety in any given emergency. You see, the use of plasma and whole blood is a major factor in the reduction of the mortality rate among our wounded. The decline in this rate is most easily expressed in the number of men per 100 who died after reaching the most forward surgical hospital. In World War I, 8 to 11 per 100 died. In World War II, the number was reduced to 4.5. And in the Korean conflict, it reached an all-time low of 2.6 per 100. Remember, blood is life itself, and your blood can save the life of an American serviceman. Your Navy urges you to be a blood buddy to a man in uniform. Call your local Red Cross chapter right away and find out where and when you can make your donation of blood to our armed forces. And remember, it's so little to give and so much to receive.
It takes more than a shiny face to make a ship a lady. And it takes a good thing more than a good right hand to make the captain a guy you'd follow around the horn. The USS Beano still didn't have it. There's no heart in the ship. Morale had ducked so low, you couldn't get her up with a depth charge. The men went about their duties, smartened up. Discipline was at a peak. And the book on naval regulations was worn thin, but the morale of the men had sunk to a minus nothing. The captain was the captain and no more. The men had nothing to talk about, nothing to look forward to. They were taking a ride from the entire fleet. They just didn't care.
But by an officer, that's the worst part, to get beaten by an officer.
Ah, it was a lucky punch. Wasn't it, folks?
No, don't kid yourself.
Oh, it must have been. I didn't even see it coming.
Well, it just so happens that the Barracuda was intercollegiate light heavyweight champ.
He what?
Yeah, you didn't think he'd walk into the ring without knowing what he was doing, did you?
Oh, how could I be such a jerk? The captain would be too smart to take a chance like that.
Still, I can't understand it. I throw one punch and the next thing I know, I'm out. Out cold.
Yeah. He just stepped inside and belted you. Boy, what a punch.
You don't have to enjoy it so much.
You brought it up from the floor.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you brought it up.
I still don't want to talk about it. Hey, who's got something to read?
Oh, I got a corker of a mystery. 7 people get killed on the first page, see? Then this girl comes in, see? A real honey. Well, halfway through the book, it turns out she's a spy, see?
I see.
Of course, it looks like she did it. Only get this, Boats. She's a spy for our side. And the senator, the one who limps, he's really a German in disguise, and he's the killer. Pretty good, huh?
Well, now that I've read that, anybody got an old copy of the Bobbsey Twins?
I hear this. There will be a general inspection.
Okay, okay. Which one of you guys forgot to brush your teeth?
A change was coming over the ship. A slow change, but you could feel it. She seemed to respond a little quicker, a little cleaner. And a change was coming over the men, too. But it wasn't a good change. They started talking to themselves. Eddie went around muttering, "I don't see how he did it. I don't see how he did it." And Brooklyn went around saying, "There must be a reason."
There must be a reason. I don't care if he was champ. There's got to be a better reason.
I bet I'm all out of condition.
What difference does it make?
What do you mean by that, Crack Rusty?
Go back to your sack.
Not until you tell me what you meant.
One punch. I just don't get it.
And what do you mean by that, Crack Brooklyn?
Relax. I got something to do. I put this off long enough.
Hey, Brooklyn, where you going?
I just go to the source. It's the only way to make a deal.
You looking for someone, Brooklyn?
The guy could be awake for nights.
Somebody is going to get swindled.
Of course, I could get court-martialed. Might even get hung. But I gotta find out.
Come in.
Begging your pardon, sir.
What can I do for you, sailor?
Captain, you don't know me.
You're the one they call Brooklyn, right?
Yes, sir, but
Sit down.
Sit down, sir?
That's right.
Thank you.
What can I do for you?
For me, sir?
Unless you're a committee.
No, sir. No. This is my own idea. Right now, I don't think it's such a good one.
You've got a complaint?
No, sir.
Stop shaking, sailor. I won't eat you. Get to it.
Well, to tell you the truth, sir, I was lying in my bunk, sir, and I said to myself, Brooklyn, something happened. And the guy with the answer is the barrel... I'm dead.
So you came to the Barracuda... Well, if I've got the answer, I'll give it to you.
How did you do it? How did you knock out Eddie?
I watched him. After that, it was easy.
But how? The guys are counting on Eddie, but he's lost confidence in himself. You're in good shape, sir, but one punch.
Brooklyn, I understand you are the champion deal maker on the ship.
I'm begging the captain's pardon, but the whole fleet, sir.
Care to make a deal with me?
A deal, sir? Well, now, it... might be a pleasure.
Sailor, I'm going to tell you how I knocked out your champ.
Yes, sir.
But
that one word has broken more hearts.
You are not to tell anyone how you found out. In fact, you're to take the credit yourself.
Another one of my talents?
Stand up. Now, assume a fighting pose. Good. Now watch me as I slowly throw a right.
I'm watching, sir. You mean Eddie does that?
Every time.
Sir, Eddie is a jerk.
You can cure that, but a fighter's like a ship. He's got to have heart.
I'm afraid I don't understand you, sir.
Think about it. That'll be all, sailor.
Yes, sir.
You're not even bleeding.
Please, boats, I am a man of destiny. A little mixed up, but a man of destiny.
Well, little man of destiny, did you straighten out the captain?
Let's say we reached an understanding. See you around.
Hey, Brooklyn, where's that mystery book?
I gave it to boats, remember? Hey, Eddie, come here.
What do you want?
What's this, Rusty? Throw a right, Eddie.
You nuts?
Do like I tell you already.
Who should throw it
at? Nobody. Just throw it and throw it slow.
Okay.
Yep. You're a jerk.
What's got into you?
He does.
Another right, champ.
He does. Eddie, you are a jerk.
Champ. Do you always stick your tongue out before you're going to throw a right?
Well, I'll see. Hey, I am a jerk.
How did you find out, Brooklyn?
Yeah, how?
Let's just say I have friends in high places.
There were whispers about how high the places went, but Brooklyn never cracked. He just nodded and let the men guess. All he says is that he made a deal and now he's going to keep his put. Well, things on the ship got better. Some of the guys were even heard to mention the captain in a manner you could use in front of ladies. Quite a change. Anyway, Eddie kept training and got past the quarterfinals, and Brooklyn became an inspection hound. Walked around with his nose in every corner of the ship and screamed bloody murder if anything was out of place. Eddie kept training and got past the semifinals, and Brooklyn kept making his rounds. Eddie became known as the champ and Brooklyn as the admiral. And then came the finals. The whole fleet was lined up. A general fleet inspection was held with admirals and more admirals making the rounds. And then the finals. And Eddie lost. How do you feel, kid?
Lousy.
Ah, you tried, Eddie.
What difference does that make? I lost.
Well, at least it was a decision. You didn't get knocked out.
Let's talk about something else.
Maybe next year.
Sure, next year.
Me and the Dodgers.
Now hear this. All hands to the Vandale.
What time for an inspection?
What else can you expect? Some guys get conned too easy.
I'm telling you, he's okay.
Well, Brooklyn, if only you hadn't bet all our dough on the fight. I don't mind losing mine, but the rest of the guys...
Ah, forget it.
Big man.
Well, I don't need this talker.
And you guys got germs? Just speak up.
Men, I know how you all feel about Eddie losing in the finals.
What does he have to talk about it for?
However, it was a close decision. Nothing to be ashamed of. He made a good showing. The entire ship is proud of him. I know I am.
When May finds out I lost my dough, go and explain that.
However, the fight was not the only competition. Not the only title at stake.
That we won the award for the toughest officer.
Shut up. This is important.
If you will look at the masthead, you will see a new flag flying. The honor flag of the Atlantic Fleet.
I knew it. I knew it.
For winning this honor, and for winning it with the highest point rating in the last 18 years, every man aboard will be given a 10-day liberty. Stand easy.
10-day liberty and no money.
Well, I tried, didn't I?
I'm sorry, Eddie. It isn't your fault.
Now, let's see,
Brooklyn, where did you get that roll?
Hey, Max, you bet 20 on the fight. Here's 60 bucks. Jerry, you got 15 coming. Bill, 120.
And I've got a question to ask.
Here's your dough, Rusty, and here's yours, Eddie.
Why do I want it?
Why not?
Well, it'll look like I threw the fight, betting against myself.
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't bet on the fight.
You didn't what?
Well, you see, I figured that any lucky punch can win a fight.
Keep talking, you wonderful little man.
And I had a talk with a guy. He said something about a ship needing a heart.
Who said we had no heart?
We didn't, but we were getting there. So, I asked a few questions. Found out about the inspection of the fleet. Contacted a few guys on other ships.
And with the reputation this ship used to have...
I got odds of 3-1 that we'd win the inspection.
Brooklyn, you're a genius.
Oh, hardly that. Merely a little advice I got from my dear old mother.
Tell me about it.
Then she said,
There's always an angle. There's always an angle.
Angle or no angle, the USS Beano got back her old name and a reputation for being the trimmest destroyer on any sea. The men wore a chip on their shoulder and got into quite a few scraps defending their ship and one honey of a fight in Hawaii sticking up for the Barracuda himself. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in that fight, we had to carry Eddie back aboard. You see, he forgot not to stick his tongue out and Brooklyn just couldn't waste the opportunity.
All hands secure until the same time next week.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, has brought you another in the series of dramatic incidents based on the experiences of the men and women in the United States Navy. In today's story, your narrator was Larry Haynes, and the cast included Jackson Beck, Joseph Julian, William Zucker, and Michael O'Day. The program was written and directed by David Harmon and produced by Chick Vincent and Cy Levine. Tune in again next week at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will once again present Next, listen for Tales of the Texas Rangers on NBC.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another one. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything Relic Radio at relicradio.com. You'll find a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows, and our Shoutcast stream, which you can also find there. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.